The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, the Gospel according to Mark, and also the others, Matthew and Luke and John, each one is a part of the beginning. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Gospel has to have a finishing as well as an ending. Mm-hmm. And if we can realize that Jesus was the beginning, and the many membered Christ has to become the fulfillment, the completion of the body of Christ. And of the Gospel of God. Verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before me. Who is the messenger here? Yeah, John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. Now we tend to slip over that one a little bit too quick. The voice of one, that's the voice of the Lord coming through John the Baptist, and he's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That path has to be through us. And it's our responsibility to have our life where it should be so that it can become a path that the Lord can flow through. It's not what we do for God, but what we allow Him to do through us. And that is the key. And that's what this is talking about. Prepare the way of the Lord through your life so that He can accomplish what He wants to. It's not just a matter, well, I don't want to commit any sins because I want to go to heaven. No, prepare that life so that He can flow through it, move through it, and accomplish what He wants to accomplish. Verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. I think we've probably talked about this before, but the name Jordan for the river actually means descender. And of course, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ who descended from heaven so that we might receive Him. But it's called the descender basically because it was a river that flowed down from a high elevation to a low place, and the waters descended. And it was across that Jordan River that Moses and the Israelites had to cross over at one point in their journey. And the amazing thing was that God caused that water to move uphill so that they could cross over on dry land. All right, 6. And John was clothed with camel's hair, with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey. So if you're going to be a real minister of the Lord, you're going to have to wear camel's hair, and and have locusts and honey for your food. No, I'm just kidding. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of those shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And the ministry we have is very similar to John's ministry. We're not the ones. We prepare the way through our lives for Him to function and do His will. But we have to realize that we're just the one, and there's a mighty one coming after us whose latchet of shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. And so it gets back to preparing a life for him to flow through. In a sense, we have a ministry just like John the Baptist. Now, before Jesus came on the scene, there was John the Baptist to prepare the way. Now, there's going to be the end season, and we're going to have to prepare the way for the ministry of the Lord in this day. Makes sense to me. 7. And he preached, saying, "There comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose." So when we minister and when we preach and when we do the things we have to do, it's not for our sake, but there's one that comes after us that's important, and that's the Lord. "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Both of those words, "with," should be "in." I baptize you in water, and I baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, "It came to pass in these days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John into Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." Now, I don't think it was in the form of a dove, but it was the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. "And there came a voice from heaven," or out of heaven, "saying, Thou art my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." Now, something had to take place. Jesus came on the scene, and he is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. God speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And immediately in verse 12, you notice in the Gospel of Mark that he that settled up immediately. Straightway, these are words that are very common to him. He liked things done quickly. But immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. I got Hebrews 5:8 on that. Somebody want to read it?
"Though he were a son, yet learned to he obedience by the things which he suffered."
I think it's important for us to understand, what was the first thing that Jesus did or had to do after he was water baptized by John? He went into the wilderness. Do you remember, where did Moses take the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt? What was the first place they went?
The wilderness.
In the wilderness. The wilderness is a place where you learn. And even Jesus himself had to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. And don't you worry, if you start out on this journey to know the Lord, you're going to have a wilderness experience. You're going to be tested. That's the first thing that happens. And in verse 13, "And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days. That term 40 days has to do with the period, usually deals with the period of being tempted and tested. "Tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." Now, do you think that Jesus, when he came forth in a human body, that he had human flesh just like we do? And his flesh was just like ours. He became as we are, so that we can become as he is. Well, the wild beasts are not just the wolves and the bears and the antelope and all that stuff, but the wild beasts that are within us, that's listed over in Galatians chapter 5, all the works of the flesh. He overcame those things. He was tempted as we are. Where's that scripture? Hebrews. He was tempted as we are, in that he himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to succor or help them that are tempted. That's chapter 2, verse 18. He went through it ahead of us. He was tempted and tested by the same works of flesh that we are. That's why he knows what we're going through and that he can help us. That, I believe, is very important. Now in verse 14, back in Mark chapter 1. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The Greek word for time there is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S, kairos. And kairos means a definite period of time. Sometimes it means season, because the season doesn't go on and on and on. It comes to an end. So, and that's what this is. So the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. But he spent those 40 days in the wilderness, and then he came out ministering the gospel of the kingdom, and he says, the time is fulfilled. Now, if you ever had any doubts about it's time for you to be prepared to move into the kingdom, there it is. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Verse 16. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, two that will become disciples, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, you need to understand that very often in the scriptures, a word can be given to represent something greater. And very often the word sea is not just talking about a little sea or a little ocean or whatever, but the sea represents the world. Okay, I think we understand that. As he was walking by the sea, he's going to be walking through this world too. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And becoming fishers of men, they're going to be working in the world, not just the water. 18. And straightway, one of Mark's favorite words, very quickly, straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. When I read that, I think, can I be like Simon and Andrew? I may not be casting a net to catch fish, but I'm involved in something of this world. Can I drop it and follow him? Each one of us, now that's something to think about, each one of us is going to be tested on that. That's what this wilderness trip is all about. We get so attached to the things of this world and so involved in it. And when Jesus comes along, can you drop what you're doing and follow him? And then a little further down, James and John, the same thing. They're mending their nets. They're fixing things so they can just get involved in this world. Got to make a living. Yeah. But he calls them out, And they left the ship, they left their father, they left the business, they left everything. And they followed the Lord. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the church and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine. No, they were astonished at his teaching. Doctrine is not a good word. A doctrine is the beliefs of one denomination is a doctrine. And another denomination will have a different doctrine. So whenever you see doctrine in here, it should be teaching. For he taught them as one that had authority. Authority is greater than power. And not as the scribes. 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." I don't know how you feel about these things, but in the church as well as in the synagogue, there's a lot of many Christians that have unclean spirits. There are some that has demonic spirits in them, and some of them have many demonic spirits in them, and you have to have some discernment to be able to detect it. 25, and Jesus rebuked them, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of them. There's going to be occasions when if you continue to walk on with God, you're going to be challenged on that. And you're going to need to take authority. And they were all amazed in verse 27, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine or new teaching is this? For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. I think that's going to be as far as we go.
Going back to that preparing a life, Malachi 3:10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house," or food to give. "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven," or the spirit realm, "and pour you out a blessing, that it shall not be room enough to receive it." We always think, "Oh, God's going to bless me so, so much." And I know one, I remember very plainly, had moved to Waynesville. I was looking for a teaching job. I think I was on my way to either a house to look at or a job interview. I can't remember which. And for some reason, this verse came to me, and the Lord made it very real that he wasn't pouring out one to me. He was pouring me out. Mm-hmm. So, to be a blessing. And so that preparing of a life, well, we have to prepare by taking in that the meat. We have to move from one level to the next, from the milk to the bread to
That's
the meat.
Right.
So that we can be, when he opens us up to pour us out, I mean, when he's making that path through us to minister to others. Some of the things that we go through, we wonder, why in the world are we going through this? But it may be because there are others, just as Christ went through things of human nature too.
Yeah, this is true. The path he creates.
The path he creates.
Is through us.
Is through us, right. And, you know, we always hear that, well, he won't tempt you more than what you can handle, but that he is the way of escape. because he's prepared that path through us. He's been there.
This is true. The path he creates through us.
We're a path for others.